But here comes Bobby Mack. What's happening, buddy?
How you much. Doing? I'm good.
You see Pooley out there? I think he's getting makeup done.
Yeah.
Bobby doesn't do makeup.
I should get makeup done. I got a big zit on my nose right now. It's really a bad one, but you get think zits it's your you age, think it's Bobby? 61 years old, you wouldn't get a zit, but zits happen.
They do.
I got a zit on my face too, and I don't really get like zits, but once in a while one will crop up.
Yeah. It happens, right? Just to keep you on your toes every once in a while.
Yep, just to keep you honest.
You got to look at the mirror and you're like, where the hell did that thing come from? And God, it looks awful. Do you usually do makeup? Like, you're on TV all the time. But
I don't really use much makeup, if any. Most nights, zero.
See, I've learned my lesson in the past. Like, I'm kind of a pale, pasty guy.
So am I.
Yeah, I was on, like, this was years ago I did TV, and for whatever reason, I was like, I don't need makeup. And then I went back and watched the video. I looked so sick.
Disgusting.
I looked gross. I was like, next, from now on, I am a makeup guy if I'm on TV.
Yeah.
I need it.
I don't like wearing makeup, so I generally don't. And they used to give me a hard time about it. Yeah, you have to use, especially when they went to high def.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you got to, high def, you're not going to be able to get away. And I'm like, well, whatever.
High def changed the game, didn't it?
Well, they haven't kicked me off TV yet.
Right.
And if I'm gone, O's gone with me. And
you're dragging everyone down?
Probably
everyone.
A few other people, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would think so.
Yeah. Not here for my looks, that's for sure. Goes without saying.
The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. So I threw something on the table earlier that I don't think you had any interest in really buying into. Pooley kind of was a little bit more cordial in his answer, although equally as dismissive. And maybe this is recency bias. But when you look at Marner and the way he's playing right mm-hmm. now and what he's capable of doing, and we all know the capabilities of yep. Auston Matthews, brought up the Chicago comparison where it's Taves and Kane.
Yep.
And I think early in their runs, that was like Taves was the man. If you were an opposing team, yep. you realized we got to find a way to stop this guy. But the past couple of years, it's become Patrick Kane's team first. He won the heart. You know, Art Ross puts yep. up all these points, drives play. Could you picture a similar scenario at any point where Marner becomes the 1A and Matthews is 1B on this team?
Well, I think where the comparison breaks down a little, as good as Taves was, is, has been, and you know, from the moment I saw, the first time I saw him play was at the World Junior Evaluation Camp, would have been 2006 or 7, I forget, whichever one was in Vancouver. And I saw him, and I was like, wow, this kid's really good. And at that point, he was like a freshman at North Dakota. But where I think the difference is that Auston Matthews has always probably had a greater offensive upside than what Jonathan Taves did, as good as we thought Taves was and has been. I think Matthews is much more of a natural goal scorer than Jonathan Taves. So the bar, I don't want to say the bar is set higher because I feel like I'm criticizing Taves and that's not the intent.
It's even hard to say that Matthews is going to be better or is better because Taves has been so good and is so
yeah, well. But I think offensively he's going, I think he's going to, and he's got a lot of, you know, he's got the size and the inclination to want to play without the puck and those things. So, yeah, but so it makes it more difficult. And I'm not sure, and nobody's a bigger Mitch Marner fan than me. Like, from the moment I saw Mitch Marner play in the OHL, I said, that's a special hockey player. And a lot of people said, well, it's junior hockey. He's not going to be able to do those things in the NHL. And I don't know why I felt that way. I'm not a scout. And I don't profess to know hockey players from one from another, but the moment I laid eyes on Marner playing junior hockey, I said, this guy's special, and he's going to be special in the National Hockey League. And I think what we're seeing is that. And again, you got to do it for a much longer period of time. I mean, Patrick Kane came in as an 18-year-old. He was 163 pounds, and I thought he was going to get killed because he was so small. And keep in mind, when he came in, the game was much different then. That was heavy hockey.
Probably helps Marner's case, right? Like, he's playing at a
absolutely.
Different time.
Absolutely. There's no question. Patrick Kane came in at a time when it was, you know, the Kings and all these big teams. was like Redwoods, every team in the Western Conference, and guys were like, it was, people were getting leaned on, and as Pierre LeBrun would call it, big boy hockey.
No kidding.
But and he still managed to be dynamic and excel and all those things. So, but I've always thought, and again, to his detriment, probably, I've said when he was coming through, when Mitch Marner was coming through, I was saying, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Patrick Kane, but he's going to be Patrick Kane-like, especially if he plays wing in the National Hockey League, because he's a wingman who plays like a center. He drives play. He's the guy on the ice that makes every other guy on the ice more dangerous, and there's very few wingers that play that way. Patrick Kane plays that way. Mitch Marner plays that way.
Yeah, he's got carte blanche beyond his own blue line, right? Like, once they get out of their own zone, where he's still got to be responsible and Kadri's down low and he's going to take care of the center position, once it gets out of their zone, it's like Marner takes over from
there. And there's no better example than what he's doing on the power play right now. Because he's made every single other part of the power play.
Everything runs through Mitch Marner.
Everything runs through him. Everything runs through him. But you know, it's interesting with Taves, because I first saw him at Shattuck St. Mary's. He wasn't the top scorer on that team.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, no. Kyle Okposo was a better scorer on that team. Kevin Deeth was a better scorer, a little college player. Like, he was. But your eyes kept going to Taves.
Yeah. When first time I saw him play, I thought he was Brian Trotsche like now. Brian Trotsche was such a prolific player, much more prolific than Jonathan Taves, but in terms of just playing that hard two-way game and being a leader and being as good without the puck as he was with it, that's what kind of jumped out at me that first time I saw him.
And when you can put those two types of players together and then let everybody else follow, the Nylanders of the world or whoever, however they fit in, then you got a chance to have
a special
team.
Always been the case here with the Leafs, right? Like, listen, Chicago did it. They won three cups. The Leafs have been in the playoffs twice. They haven't even made it yet this year. But when we look over the great teams and the great cores of the past decade, it's been Pittsburgh, L.A., Chicago for the most part. And the way this Leaf team has been built has always, there's been a connection to Chicago simply because Taves and Kane and now Matthews and Marner. Right? This isn't Sid and Malkin or Kopitar, Doughty, Kopitar, Carter. Mm-hmm. You know, they were a heavier team. Like, it feels like the Leafs, now maybe this just happened because, you know, the lottery balls fell the way they did. The players that were available were there when they were. But it feels like the Leafs have looked at that Chicago model and said, that's how we want to build our team.
I'm not even sure it's the Chicago model so much as it just worked out that Matthews and Taves are, you know, they're big, strong, number one centers. Mm-hmm. And Kane and Marner are smaller, shifty, you know, playmaking/goal-scoring wingers. And I think it's less about, because you can make that, the Chicago model, the Pittsburgh model, it's called the model of being bad for a really long period of time and winning some draft lotteries.
Right.
First
That's
overall.
What the model Hitting is.
Guys. Yeah.
That's what the model is. I mean, a lot of people forget this. Chicago won the draft lottery the year they got Patrick Kane. They were supposed to pick like fourth, and they jumped up to number one and they got Patrick Kane.
And Pittsburgh took Jordan Staal over Jonathan Taves.
Yep.
In his draft year.
Yep.
Now, Staal is still
Jordan Staal
go,
and he didn't go one, did he?
He went two.
Two.
To Pittsburgh. Can you imagine plugging Taves in with Malkin and Crosby?
Well, I think Eric Johnson went one that year,
Eric
too,
Johnson
didn't he?
Eric Johnson didn't go one, yeah.
So, St. Louis, they're probably more upset than Pittsburgh or Chicago, for that matter. Bob McKenzie in studio. So, the Leafs have set records here, regular season records, 46 wins. They've never done that before. 27 at home. They've never done that before. How significant is that?
No, it doesn't mean a thing.
No?
No.
It has to mean something, Bob.
No, it means nothing.
It means nothing.
No, it means nothing.
Okay.
Because it's a good year, relatively good year for the Leafs. But, I mean, everything's, like, when did they start having the shootout? So the record is how many years now?
Okay, so you're saying you think it's
deceptive. I'm saying that they've been a tire fire for the better part of a decade.
Yeah.
And during that time, they introduced a shootout. So it's really, you know, what you're saying is this is the best Leaf team since, well, the lockout in 2004.
Maybe. But that's better than
It's fantastic. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that the numbers, they don't mean anything.
Okay, but like obviously the next step is playoff success. And we listed those teams in the late 90s and early 2000s where starting in 98-99, they went on a six-year run where they made the playoffs. in all but 1 year, they made it out of the first
round. The tail end of that, was that the O-Dog era?
No, that was prior to the cap.
I came in when they started stinking the joint out.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, you didn't catch a little, didn't catch a wave at the end there. No, you're right. That's right.
Never made the
Missed
playoffs.
Missed the playoffs by 1 point both years.
That was the Wade Dublowitz shootout win, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, last weekend of the season.
Yeah. Had a stiff crown and ginger after that one.
Were you in that shootout?
And you haven't stopped since.
So welcome the offseason.
Right. Were you in that shootout?
What?
Were you in that shootout?
No, it was Jersey and the Islanders. Oh, I watched it in my basement. My buddy was over, and I just looked at him and said, I'm not going to work tomorrow, so.
Doobie doobie doo. Might as well have a crown and ginger.
Let's get after it. When were you pouring it? Before the shootout or right after the shootout?
It was prepped when, I don't know who it was that shot.
Let me ask you this. Would you have celebrated if...
With a crown and ginger.
Like you were having the drink no matter what.
No, I would have to have been at practice the next morning.
But still,
you were going to celebrate. Celebratory cocktail.
Just one.
I probably would have because I think I was on the seventh line at that time.
Just get after it for the boys.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
But that Pat Quinn era, those were competitive teams. Those were good teams.
And that's right.
Some great battles with Ottawa and what have you. And, and they played a lot of playoff series. They just never got over the hump.
Right. And when you compare and contrast eras, I mean, like I said, there was over that six-year run, only once they didn't make it out of the first round, and they lost in seven games. The Leafs played that bullet last year. So don't they have to start winning this year?
Yeah, you would think so. But, I mean... It's not have to, it's try to, you know, see what the matchup is. Is it Tampa? Is it Boston? Does it matter? Not going to be easy, but, you know, that's why they play the game. It's going to be fun.
Well, Bruins-Tampa tonight, like this would be a bloodbath between these two to get to that top spot, right? To
I don't know. You know what? You guys, Pooley and O would know this better from actually having played games and being a part of an organization. I got a funny feeling. Yeah, you know what? I think you get to this stage of the season, and it's like, if we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. If we get Toronto, we get Toronto.
Like, we prop it up as this big statement matchup.
I think it's fun for the media, and I think it's fun for fans. I guess you want home ice, but I don't know. Like, you know, if you're Tampa and you've got a bunch of guys coming off injury or whatever, or you're rushing them back into the lineup because you want to beat Boston.
Stamkos back?
Pardon?
Stamkos is back.
I think Stamkos is good. Hedman's good. I'm not sure. I don't think Callahan is yet.
I think home ice is the most significant.
Home ice is significant, I guess, but
more so than Leafs versus Devils. Like that's what you're talking. You're either playing Toronto or playing New Jersey.
Might be Florida.
Okay, but still, the Leafs are better than both.
Or it could be Philly. You know, or it could be Columbus. There's still a lot of permutations there in terms of what you get. And yeah, the Leafs are a tough out, no question. If you're Tampa, but you know, that if it were Tampa and Florida, and again, Florida losing last night certainly didn't help the cause of that. But the whole dynamic of maybe an all Florida first round matchup, a lot of that might go out the window when you got Barkov and now they're adding this Borgstrom kid. I'm curious to see if he can.
Yeah, he's in tonight too.
He might make an immediate impact. He could be that good.
Is he an American kid or?
He's Finnish.
No, he's a Finnish kid.
But played in college.
Two years of college. So.
2 years of college, and he's been electrifying in college. Like he's, if you're looking for the best highlight reel outside of the National Hockey League over the last 2 years, there's your guy.
Really?
The goals he scores.
Yeah, he's that dynamic. Mm.
And you know he's good because he's a center and they're planning on playing him at center, third line center, right out of the gate. So I'll be curious to see. It's fun. This is a fun time of the year for that part of it. Middlestat playing for Buffalo tonight. Borgstrom for Florida. Gaudette for Vancouver. So it's kind of neat.
Tolvanen's in Nashville now, I believe. I don't know when he's going to
probably play Saturday.
Yeah,
we got to let you go, Bobby. Is that right?
Yeah, more or less.
What did you think of the kind act of Brian Hayes taking my jacket and bringing it to Whitby? Was it an act of kindness or an act of, what were you thinking?
Well, it was kindness rooted in obliviousness. Oblivion.
I'll take that. Hey, I brought it back, though, Bob.
You know what? And that there was the act of kindness.
Yeah, that's sainthood.
There was the act of kindness.
I think that was
but
the act
yeah,
of
he had to because I didn't do anything. He did
no,
it.
But you still might have had to send an Uber to pick it up.
I offered that, by the way. I offered that.
Reluctantly, and there would have like the cab.
Reluctantly, I said, dude, I'll send an Uber, well, nothing. Yeah, it would have cost me $180.
Okay, what if I put it in the Uber and the Uber just disappears?
Then I would hate your guts.
Exactly. And that's precisely what I was expecting to happen. I wasn't going to throw it in an Uber, like, no chance.
And, dude, by the way, part of the reason I wanted it back, I had $2,500 cash in my wallet. I don't want that anywhere.
But you were going to hand that over to an Uber driver.
Well, I don't know. I would hope that he wouldn't go through my stuff. I just had a lot of... I cashed a check.
I think just basically told the city of Toronto, greater Toronto area, that he walks around with mega cash.
And my truck's always unlocked.
Yeah. Uber X or Uber Select?
When I'm going out, it's always Uber Select.
That's the best thing. $2,500 cash, and it's Uber X.
Uber X. I got to go do insider trading.
All right, Bob. See
you,
man.
Guys.
There's Bob McKenzie, the Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance. It add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance.